to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode. .5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and of course, you talk about this, and everyone's as paranoid as I am. I'm convinced that it's weird because I'm so paranoid, yet like a sadist, I watch shows like Black Mirror that make me even more paranoid.
Yeah,
and I also understand that I don't know if I would ever give up my cell phone.
Right.
Even though I know that all this stuff is going to be used against me at one point.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you keep your nose clean, you'll be all right.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I'll tell you what. The one thing I've been wildly against is those Alexas and the Amazon Echoes and things like that, because that's stupid. Why would you have that when everything your phone does...
You're fast-forwarding the process that's happening anyway.
Right.
Like, you're just, like, jumping ahead. You're like, all right, whatever. Just take everything.
It's like, Alexa, what time is it? And... why don't you look at your phone?
Or the wall, or the microwave, or your wrist.
You know, Alexa, play Imagine Dragons, if your kids are yelling that, which is essentially the story in your house, John.
Yep.
Okay.
That's about right.
Well, then there's a story that came out last week of one of these Amazon Echoes apparently recorded a family's conversation and emailed it to a random person that was in their contacts.
Yeah,
they
opened
up the sound file, and it's like 20 minutes of people... that you barely know having a conversation, a private conversation in their room. Mm. And the way that Amazon tried to explain how it all happened is so utterly ridiculous. They said that apparently they thought that during the conversation, what they heard was a send message request, at which point Alexa said, to whom? At which point the background conversation was interpreted as a name in the customer's contact list.
Nice. Yeah. So that makes sense. That's fine. Everyone wants that.
Which is utterly ridiculous. I'm telling you, all of your information is being sold to the highest bidder, and there's nothing you can do to stop it except for getting off the grid, which I don't even know if that'll stop it.
No.
Let's go to Jared. Jared, you've got a way to trick Alexa in our phones.
All right. So we have Alexa. We tried to trick it. Obviously, like you guys are saying, I think you notice things that pop up on ads and things, and it relates to things you've been searching, and now you see more ads. My wife and I were trying to trick it. We're thinking, like, what's the weirdest thing we could order? Or, like, something we don't have a bird or something. Like, what's the best bird food or something like that? And then we're going to watch the ads on the phone or watch the ads that pop up on the computer and just kind of see if it's matching, like, listening or eavesdropping on us. And trying to name drop things that we would never buy, you know, like wallet searching for like leather bondage gear or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I mean, you know, it doesn't match up, and I haven't seen anything weird kind of pop up on the phone or at home. But I think the other thing is when you guys are talking about, you know, the FloNase, like you guys said, it's seasonal time, and I think maybe it's right in front of you the whole time. You don't see it until you need it.
No. I've literally never seen a FloNase ad until I had that conversation. I'm not kidding you. I haven't seen anything like that. And I do allergies a lot. I haven't even seen a Claritin ad. I haven't seen a Zizol ad. I haven't seen any of that stuff.
I get allergies, and I Google all that stuff, and I don't really see the ads.
It's for randomly FloNase, that product, the one that my doctor told me about, to just shoot up in my ads.
FloNase is good, by the way.
It's very strong.
Good stuff.
I heard it is actually good stuff. Somebody said...
You need some?
You got some?
I know a guy.
Someone said 2 weeks ago, a coworker was talking to the two of us about a clothing brand called Chubbies that I've never heard of before. The next morning, we both had promoted posts for Chubby shorts on our Instagram pages. Someone said, I jokingly told my girlfriend that I'm getting old and I'm going to buy a foot massager. It was sarcastic. And I've never searched for a foot massager next morning on Amazon Prime. The top suggestions were foot massagers.
I forget the name of the last caller, but I think his situation, I believe the computers are intelligent also. They know when you're trying to mess with it. You can't even fool them.
That's right. Even the sticker over the camera, which, by the way, that creeped me out.
That Zuckerberg has the sticker on his camera.
Zuckerberg, like, tweeted out a photo of himself, and in the background, you can see on his laptop, there's a sticker over the camera. I'm like, man, if Zuckerberg does that, then obviously he knows something we don't know.
That made me want to throw the computer in the trash.
Oh, sure. Well, of course. Of course it does.
I didn't, but it made me want to.
Let's go to Mike. Mike, what's up, man? Mike.
Hello?
Mike, yes, you're on.
Yep. I went down to my parents' house in North Carolina, and they just added a new room. So they had all new furniture, never seen before. I took out my phone to go on Facebook, and we didn't talk about the furniture. I just I, open up Facebook, and they have their exact chairs and their exact cushions, which are like nautical themed, in my newsfeed.
Yeah, man.
It could, like, sense the furniture.
Well, you know,
it knows your address. It knows it was shipped there, but why?
Well, Mike, I mean...
That seems like a malfunction. They went too far.
I let... Right. That's right.
They're like, damn it.
I let Mike go, but I forgot to ask him, did you take a picture of the furniture? Because the first time I ever realized that this was kind of messed up was last year I was looking for a grill to buy, and I went and took a hardware store, and I saw this grill, and you know how you do it sometimes. You find it, and you want to go back, and you want to research.
Take a picture of the price tag.
Right, do all that. So I took a picture of the grill. I didn't Google anything yet, none of that, and when I got home, all of my Facebook feed had an ad for that specific grill on it. So it goes into your pictures, and it takes things you've taken pictures
of. Because Facebook has access to your pictures.
They do have access to your pictures. Now, that part can be explained.
Mm-hmm. But still, you're not down with it.
No, I'm still not down with it, but I'm still not enough to give up my phone, which is kind of sad and pathetic.
And I think back to even, like, in 2001, 2002, when the Patriot Act was passed and everyone was losing their minds. They're like, the government will be able to see your library records. And I was like, what are you people taking out at the library that you're worried about that? And so I still kind of have that same attitude. Like, well, you can spy on me, but it's going to be very boring. It will be a very boring spy job.
Oh, somebody just sent me an article.
Oh, boy.
Dude, this is... Okay, we're talking about that Black Mirror episode where you get a score. You're scored on how nice you are to people, and it's like a social score. This is an article from CBS New York. China assigns every citizen a social credit score to identify who is... let's see. China's rolling out a high-tech plan to give its 1.4 billion citizens a personal score based on how they behave.
Yep.
But there are consequences if a score gets too low, and for some, that's cause for concern.
Yeah, a little bit.
It says...
I read that after the episode. I did the Reddit thread diving and came across that. And you're like, oh, so this one isn't even in the future. This is very realistic.
When Liu Hu recently tried to book a flight, he was told that he was banned from flying because he was on a list of untrustworthy people. Liu is a journalist who was ordered by a court to apologize for a series of tweets he wrote and told his apology was insincere. Quote, I can't buy property. My child can't go to a private school. You feel you're being controlled by a list at the same time. That is that episode.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that episode is. If you're somebody that people just don't like, you can't buy anything, you can't get any kind of credit, and now it seems to be happening in China.
That's why, like I said, you watch it and you're like, oh, this is sci-fi, this is a little unrealistic, and then you think about it for all of 10 seconds and you're like, no, this is the most believable, realistic scenario
right.
that could happen. Yeah. And it's every episode, basically.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Black Mirror is a great show if you are a sadist, like I am, and you like to terrify yourself.
And you want to ruin your weekend. Like, Friday night, watch it, and your weekend will be a little bit spoiled.
Oh, it's devastated. Like, you're absolutely devastated. And you look at everything, and you look at every kind of technology in a completely different way.
Well, the reason I can't, I still have 3 episodes left, is because I can't watch it, obviously, in front of my kids, but I can't even watch it in front of my wife. She's like, don't ever watch that show in front of me again, because it ruins my life.
Oh, yeah. That Metalhead episode with the robotic dogs is just awesome.
I don't understand why people build those to begin with.
We don't need robot dogs.
Why are the people at MIT who are smarter than everyone else on the planet, why would you build something like that? Well, you're not going to keep it as a pet. Why would you build a robotic dog?
Well, did you see the video that came out yesterday of the flame-throwing drones?
No, I didn't see that one.
Drones that shoot fire. So we've essentially made our own dragons.
No, well, armies can use that. Yes, just send drones, you know.
There's another episode where the government creates honeybee drones. All over the country.
I stopped.
So,
oh,
yeah.
Good.
That's good. That's perfect. In case we want to invade Texas or something, would you send the honeybee drones?
See, you know, the idea is they spread the pollen because the bees are going extinct. However,
okay.
There might be some unintended consequences.
I see. Yeah, no, I get it.
See.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to, we have, is it Kyle Draper that's on with us next? Okay, Kyle Draper's on with us next. And he kind of got...
Is it Kyle Draper? It might be somebody else.
He kind of got dissed by Danny Ainge last night, which I thought was kind of funny. We will get to that. We'll talk to him about the NBA draft last night with the Boston Celtics. Also, the prospect of Dwight Howard may be coming to Boston.
I'm
with you. I can't stand the guy. I've said it 1,000 times.
What about the comedy, though? Have you thought about the comedy, the hotel rooms, the room service, all that?
Oh, that's right. He is
unintentional.
He is a jokester.
He's a professional.
That's what the Celtics are missing.
He's an impractical joker, as they like to say.
I'm still laughing. You might have played that a year ago. I'm still laughing about it.
He's just and he can do voices? maybe he can have his own TV show.
His comedy level is the same as I used to go to this Mexican place where you had to say your name when you ordered. Mm-hmm. One time I was like, Kevin. And they were just looking at me like, the dumbest person in the world. And that's basically Dwight Howard's level of comedy.
Dwight Howard's comedy. Yeah. All right.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, Boston has been looking for a young big man to start bringing in behind Al Horford. And one player on the board who is a lottery-level talent, Texas A&M's Robert Williams, almost came out after his freshman year last year and was projected at that time to be a top 7 or 8 player. Questions about his attitude, work ethic have knocked him almost out of the first round here. But he is high on the Celtics draft board. And if they select him here, he could be a steal of this first round.
All you 26 suckers that picked before Danny Ainge.
Bozos.
Dummies. Didn't know that this guy right here is going to be the steal of the draft.
Dynasty.
Mm-hmm. Robert Williams III ends up getting picked by the Celtics last night. It's 98.5 of Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich. We've got Michael Hurley filling in. And all right, before we pull him up on the AT&T Expert Hotline, our good friend Kyle Draper from NBC Sports Boston is about to join us. But I want to play this first. He can hear this, right? Okay. So this is, I have not heard this yet.
I have.
And I guess this happened in the crazy hours when everyone's a little loopy, yep. You know, maybe around like 12:30 or something like that, like a little after midnight.
Yeah. I had tapped out by that point myself.
No.
So Danny Ainge has finished his press conference, I'm assuming.
Yes, this is the end of the night.
Okay. And Draper and Scal are doing their show from, which I believe is the RBAC Center, which is right across the street. So they're doing their show. And Danny Ainge, as he likes to do, is very personable, walks by and just tries to, as he's walking by, say hello. And here's how things went down.
All right. I'll answer your question.
Your final thoughts just on tonight.
Oh, he called me Chirac. Danny Ainge just called him Chirac.
Hey, Danny. Google my name, Danny.
I'm out.
Hey, Danny, Google my name.
That's it. That's
look up.
It. That's it.
I'm just trying to tell you, pal. See what I mean about listening to the
right, Danny. Make sure you Google my name. The first video that comes up, I'm not A'Sherrod Blakely. Look that up.
From here on out, A'Sherrod.
You see what happens when you're on air after midnight, right? We need to cut these
Danny
things off.
Danny Ainge told me nothing good happens after midnight. It's
oh
after
my
midnight
gosh,
right
man!
Now.
Things get weird out here. Oh, geez. All right, let's pull it back together.
All right. A man getting no respect whatsoever for Danny. Look at Danny Ainge, just trying to be a nice, personable guy.
You'd think he'd know you by now. That's just not right.
Kyle Draper, have you recovered from Danny Ainge disrespecting you so coldly yesterday after midnight?
No, I mean, my ego is still bruised, no doubt about it. And the worst part is we had just done a 5 or 6 minute interview with Danny Ainge on our set right before that. So he got up, left the set, and was walking downstairs and had one last thing to say. And then he's like, hey, Sherrod. Now, it's one thing to get it from Celtics fans, you know, just some randoms out on the street. But right. The president, I'm the host of the Celtics fan postgame show. But the president of the Celtics basketball operations, that's a huge blow to the ego.
Right. Just when you're starting to feel good about yourself, right. Here comes Danny Ainge with the hammer of reality.
Well, I'm curious.
We're all nothing. To Danny Ainge, we're all just a bunch of poo.
I'm curious. What's
the changeable part?
That's right. What do you think is worse, if he did it by accident or on purpose? Because it's almost like both are pretty bad.
Yeah, if he did it on purpose, I would actually laugh at it if he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
He must have saw the video. He knows how much, you know, he's just needling me.
That's possible.
Accidentally. I mean, there's no way I look like Sherrod. We're different personalities, you know. I'm a better dresser, better looker than Sherrod. Come on now, you know. Danny got to be better than
he's letting all that Chipotle rot his brain. So I can't really speak. I'm addicted to Chipotle myself. All right. So Robert Williams III, your first impression. I mean, everyone's going nuts saying it's the steal of the first round. What's your opinion on this guy?
No, he could be the steal of the first round. But, you know, one thing I worry about him and one thing we've seen from Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum is their work ethic, what they do inside the gym. These guys, you know, first ones there, last to leave. There's a Robert Williams III have that same work ethic. That's been the knock on him, I guess, throughout his career, you know, and that's why he slid a little bit. I don't think anybody, you know, denies his upside. Now, if Brad Stevens and the Celtics can bring out the best in him, and if he commits himself, you know, it could be the steal of the draft.
Okay, so I've heard the one thing we kept hearing last night is the commitment problems and character issues on and off the court. On the court, I've seen a lot of evidence and people putting things out there as far as, like, he doesn't hustle sometimes. He doesn't play both ends of the court. And sometimes he takes plays off. What's the off the court that we're not hearing about? Do you know anything about that?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I haven't heard anything, to be honest with you, about this guy. You know, everything I've seen has been on the court. And, just his, he has so much potential, but will he ever fully realize it? And so, I got to, be honest. I haven't heard the off-court stuff.
Kyle, your phone's kind of screwy. Is there any way we could call you back? Maybe get a better connection?
Yeah, can you guys hear me now or no?
Now it sounds good. It sounds a lot better.
It should be good now. Sorry about that.
You know who else's phone always craps out on you a lot is Danny Ainge. So
there you go.
Hey, afterwards I told Danny he owes me one though for sure. He owes me a scoop or some breaking news or something like that.
I like it. You got to hang it over his head, make him feel guilty, turn it into an issue. That's what you should do. Like never let this one go until he actually pays you back, which would be nice. So the other thing about this guy that we're hearing is that, will this take away from the Celtics wanting to re-sign Aaron Baines? Is this a big enough signing, or is this a player that they find important enough that they would not pursue Aaron Baines?
No, because I we asked Danny about this yesterday when he joined us on the set, was the status of Baines. And, Baines is a guy that can contribute right now. If you're trying to win a championship, Baines is a guy that can help you right now. I don't think Robert Williams is going to come in and be a starting center or play 20 to 25 minutes or anything like that. And so because he's on that rookie salary scale, I don't think it affects Baines, from a money standpoint much at all. And I think, Baines will be back. It all depends, too, on what somebody else offers Baines, right? Mm-hmm. Celtics can get him for $6-7 million, I think they bring him back. Anything over that, I think it's going to be hard to do.
Kyle, obviously, this guy, Williams, is rebounding and is shot blocking. There's no question about either of those two things. And obviously, from what I read and what you guys are talking about, using him in the pick and roll game is huge. But do you think his lack of outside shooting and his weight will be a problem at the next level?
Yeah, and that's something that the Celtics haven't had, right, in terms of a big man that, can't shoot. I mean, even Aaron Baines developed a jump shot, outside shot this year. And so I fully expect the Celtics. The thing about Brad, even if you can't shoot, he encourages you to shoot, And so I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing with Robert Williams, but this is like something totally different than what we've seen from the Celtics, from their big men. I will say this is something they've needed for a number of years, somebody that can alter some shots, somebody that can go above the rim and get it. And so, the downside of his shooting, I think, is offset by the upside of what he can create rolling to the rim.
All right, Kyle, let's talk about Dwight Howard, because now that he is a free agent, it's weird. If you would have just shown me his stats and not told me who this mystery player was, and you just gave me everything about him, his size and how well he played. I think he averaged like 17 points and how many boards. It was like
a good year, 13 or something. 14.
It was a great year, especially for his age. You'd say to yourself, well, if you can get this guy for, not much of anything, and he's desperate to play for a team that's a contender, hell yeah, you take this guy. But the minute you say Dwight Howard, I've said it for years now, he will never be on a team that wins a championship. There's something about that guy. He's got the stink of a loser, and I know that, how can you be that good? Put it this way, you're that good in putting up that kind of numbers, and Charlotte couldn't wait to get rid of you. And right now, when he's out the door, they're calling him a pariah. They said that the players saying that they used to laugh at him behind his back when he tried to take up a leadership role. What's your opinion on him? And then Danny Ainge, we know in the past, has said that he likes Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I used to like Dwight Howard also, and we talked about this last night, but there's always this if with him. It's always if he commits himself to being a rebounder and defender, if he stops calling for post touches. I mean, he's been calling for post touches ever since he was in Orlando, and I hope Celtics fans aren't all in on this guy, because how many years have we dogged Dwight Howard, and now with the possibility of getting him, is everybody going to change their tune? Oh, we want Dwight Howard. I mean, if he could come in and accept his role and be that fifth guy, or just rebound and play some defense, set solid screens, but if he's trying to take 10 to 12 shots a game, I don't think that's this is a good fit for him. And so I would take a hard pass, to be honest with you. I just don't think, and you mentioned it, will he be a winner, you know, a key part of a championship team? I don't know. This guy's been jettisoned around the league. You know, Atlanta had him for a couple of coffee. Charlotte, now the Nets, you know, they want to get rid of him too. And so I just don't, you know, if he was committed and just did his role, that would be great, but it hasn't happened, you know, in the last 10 to 12 years with him, and I don't think it's going to happen now.
And they traded him for garbage. Like, that's the other thing.
It was a
like,
dump.
Yeah, it was an absolute dump. And
five teams in 7 years.
Oh, yeah. He had a game this season where he had 30 rebounds and 30 points. Like, I mean, he was this was a great season
for
him.
You know what? You guys, everything you say is true, and you know how I feel, Rich. I don't want him on the Celtics either, but this guy is a borderline Hall of Famer, believe it or not.
He might actually make a Hall of Famer.
He's led the league in rebounding five times, shot blocking, block shots twice. He averages 17 and 13 a game for his career.
I guess
nobody wants him.
Everyone wants to get rid of him.
I guess what matters, Kyle, is whether or not we would want him on this team. Is do you think Danny would make a move for Dwight Howard?
I think he would. Yes, I think Danny views, you know, whatever player that's out there as somebody. If we get him in this system, they see the first class organization, see Brad Stevens, the commitment to winning, and all that. You know, they would fall in line. With that being said, if he didn't, Danny would have no problem getting rid of him either. And we've seen that in the past.
For the veteran minimum, I don't think Danny spends any more money on him than that.
Sure. I agree. And you know, and what is he? Is he your starting center? No. Is he going to accept a bench role? You know, and so, you know, with Gordon Hayward coming back, guys, I fully expect the Celtics to go small a lot of the time, most of the time, you know, with Al Horford at the five and Tatum, Brown, and Hayward and a Kyrie as your starting five. Which one of those young guys are you going to tell to go to the bench? And so is Dwight Howard going to come here and actually accept a bench role? I don't think he would.
That's amazing to me. I mean, think about it. Like, you know, a couple years ago, Aaron Baines starting over Dwight Howard, like no contest.
Right.
Like, this is a weird world we live in, but I mean, I'm with you. See, I think Danny would make that move, too.
Well, and there's a history of that, too. I mean, the Shaq signing was Shaq's last year in the league, and he started every game he played.
By the way, Shaq, when he was healthy with the Celtics, there's revisionist history. He was amazing.
He was good.
He was okay.
He was excellent.
Okay, Kyle, come on.
No, I'm not going to go amazing. Amazing was when he was in L.A. and Miami.
I mean, he wasn't Shaq, but he was still
he was functional.
Still really good.
And then his feet stopped working.
Enough for them to trade Kendrick Perkins, right?
Right.
I mean, that was
the lure of Nenad Krstić. That was they saw that that god,
that hunk, that Adonis
listen,
over there.
Yeah, he was, you know, the cover boy for many a teen magazine with his unbelievable good looks. All right, well, Kyle, good stuff, and I am sorry that you got so disrespected last night by Danny Ainge. Next time we have him on the show, we will have to confront him with that and make sure that he apologizes profusely and throws roses at your feet next time.
Yeah, bring that up to him. I want to hear what he says, you know, to you guys. He apologized to me, but I want a public apology.
Oh, we'll rub it in. That's something you don't let somebody forget. So we will continue to do that. All right, Kyle, we'll talk to you later soon. All right,
guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Dwight Howard sucks. I hate him.
I think he may go to the Hall of Fame. I really do.
He's got the numbers to it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I wouldn't have a problem with him doing it. You put up those kind of numbers, you get in the Hall of Fame. However, was there a worse team that's been constructed? There probably is. But
The Lakers.
Steve Nash, Kobe. Dwight Howard, and Kobe Bryant.
I mean, they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It was basically like, here are your next NBA champions.
Yep. Super team. Oh, and man, it was an absolute disaster.
Do you know what their record was that year?
Oh, they were awful, weren't they?
It was the lockout year. So
well, Nash got hurt.
No, it wasn't the lockout year. It was 2012-2013.
500.
8 games over 500, 45-37.
Okay. Right. Well, Nash got hurt that year, too. So, I mean, he was a non-factor.
But they got swept by the Spurs in the first round.
But any team with Kobe Bryant, you know, putting up that low of a total, which is ridiculous. There's only two players in the NBA that I've said, if you have them on your team, you're not winning a championship. It's him and Carmelo Anthony. Both of them, amazing talents in
certain
aspects.
Anthony's another Hall of Famer.
And he's another Hall of Famer, but you are never going to win. They just had that loser stink all over them.
Hey, look at the Hornets. He was probably the second best player behind Kemba Walker, and they finished 10th in the Eastern Conference. Like, you couldn't make the playoffs in the East?
Yep.
Like, how the numbers look great.
Yep.
The 30-30 performance is great. But over the course of 82 games, it clearly isn't very helpful.
Yeah,
Though the Magic back in the day were good.
Yeah. Well, that was
Young Dwight Howard's a different story.
Sure. Well, of course. And then he did that thing to Stan Van Gundy, which is one of the all-time most awesomely awkward press conference moments, where Van Gundy was talking about how Dwight Howard pretty much sold him out, and Dwight Howard walks over not knowing what he was saying, and then
I love this guy.
Stan Van Gundy's just, he goes, I love this guy. Stan Van Gundy's like, all right, you got it, and he walks away, and the press goes, Stan Van Gundy just told us that you threw one of the bus, and that smile, that goofy grin turns into, oh, man.
And then he was fired about, I don't know, a week later?
Yep, about a week later.
Is that right?
Yep, it sure was. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll finally get to the Terry Rozier stuff next.
Toucher and Rich.
Chill.
Nine eight five Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We got Michael Hurley in this morning for Fred. And there's been, along with everything that happened with the draft last night and all this new Dwight Howard news and stuff, which still makes me cringe just to mention his name and think of him in any kind of conversation involving the Celtics. But
I believe you mean Dwight.
Dwight Howard.
Who you is have to pronounce it correctly, yes.
Master impressionist, obviously a prank caller, which we may have to bust some of those out later on, just because, once again, I'm a glutton for punishment, much like watching Black Mirror and all the technology horror stuff. For some reason, I'm like the Opus Dei guy from the Da Vinci Code. I'm whipping myself in the back right now. But the one question that's been thrown out there right now is, you have two players in the Boston Celtics right now playing the same position, and they're going to be up for, you've got Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart, and a decision's going to have to be made sooner or later on which one's going to get paid. So, with all of that in mind, last night, during draft night, Terry Rozier was doing a video sit down. It's like one of these things that,
like a live internet show.
Like a live internet show.
Bleacher Report.
All right. First of all, what's amazing is how little of a buzz, like, any of this. What is Bleacher Report? Could you kind of, what I'm saying is that
I think what Bleacher Report
is one of those things that I every once in a while see a report from, and we'll have somebody on, but like, I never hear any buzz anyone talking about Bleacher Report.
It's just kind of like one of those. Like, I think they're sort of a victim of how they started, which was like, anyone can write for us. You write. I think that's how it started, was basically like fan blogs.
Okay.
And they've developed into a much more legitimate source, but I still think a lot of people think of it like that sort of random website with fan blogs.
Yeah,
even though it's not that anymore.
I know, and I know that we've had a couple good writers on from Bleacher Report.
Like, but Mike Freeman, I think, is probably the biggest one.
But somebody's got to do something to make you think about Bleacher Report. Because, they're not really breaking any big stories. You don't really know what they are. Like, you know what Deadspin is, you know what I mean? It's like, there's different, like, companies that write for things. You know what Barstool is. Like, you know what you don't really know what Bleacher Report is.
I guess so. It's just basically as much content as possible.
I guess they are
a content machine.
However, last night, this was phenomenal. So, and it's something that I believe probably isn't going to be smiled upon by one Danny Ainge. So Terry Rozier is sitting with these three guys from Bleacher Report doing this internet show, and it is maybe 5 minutes before the Celtics are to make their pick. As a matter of fact, they're on the Sixers pick. That was the one directly before the Celtics, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the Sixers are just about to make their pick, and this happens. Once again, it's three guys from Bleacher Report and Terry Rozier, and this is what happens last night.
Sixers pick is in, but Jesse, why don't you come in here? Terry, I want you to write down who you think the Celtics are going to be taking at 27, and let's see if you have
a secret. Like, we won't look. Like, we'll just.
Can I get some options?
Yes. Okay, here you go.
Oh, you've got the list.
Here is the list. Here are the list of the guys. If they're not crossed out, they're still available. That's their position.
I'm going to do this secret.
You're going to call Danny Ainge? All right, FaceTime Danny Ainge.
See if he answers.
Yeah, let's see it.
Ask him if he's trading you tonight.
That would be good to know, too. FaceTiming Danny Ainge live on Facebook and YouTube right here on Bleacher Report. Tell him that I said hi. We go back a long way, me and the Ainge guy.
We got the next pick?
You are after the Sixers pick, so I think you're on the clock.
I can call him right now. This.
Okay, so Terry Rozier takes out his phone at this point and starts calling, and he's looking down, and he's not joking. He's going to try to FaceTime with Danny Ainge. And then this happens.
We got the next pick?
You are after the Sixers pick, so I think you're on the clock.
I can call him right now, and that's perfect.
Oh, my God.
Sixers got the next pick, right?
Sixers are going right now.
Okay.
All right, he's literally, I see Danny Ainge.
Why I got this? See, if you don't answer, he's going to look bad.
No, it's not. I can't believe you're doing this.
He's busy. If you don't answer, he's busy.
Yeah.
No,
I think he's really busy.
No, he likes me a lot.
He's probably got a draft pick to make.
He might be worried to see a call coming from you.
Yeah.
Danny. What's up? Who is going to be?
I got to draft a point guard.
You know, I need to really know who it's going to be so I can, you know, get a little inside scoop.
We're trying to find out right now.
Okay, so he's got Danny Ainge on FaceTime with like 2 minutes before the pick is announced.
Right.
So Danny Ainge answers a call from Terry Rozier when he's right in the middle of all this, and you can see Terry Rozier looking at Danny Ainge's face before any of this is made public, and Danny Ainge is Danny Ainge has no idea that he's on, like, being broadcast at this point.
Right.
Like, Danny Ainge has literally no, he just thinks it's a call from Terry Rozier. And by the way, I like his first answer. We got to draft a point guard just to give Terry Rozier a minor heart attack. All right, so let it continue.
We're trying to find out right now.
Trying to find out right now. Okay, you don't really want to give me the inside scoop. I understand.
No, I do. I wish I could tell you, but I think it's going to be Bob Williams, but we're working looking at all the medical stuff.
Okay, gotcha. You know, I just wanted to call and mess with you a little bit, see who it was. You know?
All right, brother.
All right, man, I'm going to talk to you. Be safe.
Okay, see you.
Yep.
Bye.
Bob Williams. I'm going to go with Bob Williams.
Oh my God.
He wouldn't lie to you.
I think we just made some kind of history there. I'm not sure what kind of history.
That's unbelievable. A, that Danny Ainge would pick up right before that, which kind of says something about what he thinks about Terry Rozier. He obviously likes the guy.
That's a good president right
past
there.
Past tense.
But yeah.
What do you thought about Terry Rozier?
Past tense. I mean, liked Terry Rozier. That's not cool.
Not at all. I mean, at least at that point, like the word, like Wojnarowski had probably tweeted something out there saying that Bob Williams was the guy, or who knows?
I don't know. I think that was before
but
Woj
that was
got
several,
to it.
It looked like
it was before Philly announced their pick.
Yeah,
so usually
no,
Woj
that's
would wait.
Not cool.
I mean, if you're Danny,
call me skeptical. But I feel like maybe that was set up. Because why would he even answer
at
that moment?
No.
You don't think so?
No way. No way that was set up.
Why would Ainge even answer the phone?
Do you think that they planned that? They said, Danny, we want to call you just moments before that.
Maybe, because think about the
Bleacher
way it was.
Bleacher Report wants to call you, Danny.
I believe it 1,000%. So I guess Danny Ainge was asked about it. Is that what this clip is?
Okay. Yes.
So Danny Ainge last night was asked about Terry Rozier making the call to him and
violating federal rules, creating a felony or something.
I think there might be something to it, but here is Danny Ainge talking about that.
I was obviously joking with Terry about the guard position, but I had no idea it was on live, whatever live it was. I thought he was FaceTiming me. I had no idea, but anyway, that is sort of funny.
I'm not even mad. You're going to Sacramento.
Yeah, real funny.
You're going to go to basketball.
If you had only done this an hour earlier, I could have traded you to the Clippers for one of their lottery picks. And I could have taken someone better.
His new name is Terry Capspace Rozier. That's where he'll be traded.
That was fairly bold. However, it does say something about Danny Ainge, though. I mean, it does say that, like, even at this moment when all this stuff is going on,
he'll take your call.
He'll take the backup point guard's call and say, you know what? I'll answer it kind of in the middle of it, and I'll tell you who we're getting.
He'll also
Bob Williams. I'm going to go with Bob Williams.
I mean, that's great. And it was funny as hell of Rozier, but I mean,
he'll take the call, and he'll also trade you without even blinking.
That's right.
That's the Danny Ainge way.
Alex, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Ridge. Alex! There we go. All right, so
I don't know. I still feel like that was a bit of a setup because I feel like
no way.
It's 5 minutes before you have to make the pick, and you're answering FaceTime. I never answer a FaceTime.
As I said, doesn't that seem like a Danny Ainge thing to do though?
Maybe
how calm he was. He always talks
to us about open lines of communication. He talks about telling his players where they stand 100% of the time. I understand your skepticism.
But think about the wording of it.
YouTube, get a hit. Make sure you. I get
the
that,
way he worded it.
I don't know. I'm with Rich on this one. I don't think that was planned out. I don't know if they were in it, but maybe Terry set it up with Danny ahead of time. No, let me do this. If it's ESPN, if it's Fox, if it's NBA TV, I get that.
Probably couldn't get away with it.
Bleacher Report. That's true.
And I think about the way Danny worded it, where he said we're thinking about Bob Williams, not we're going to take Bob Williams.
Well,
it was sort of non-committal.
But you heard him say we had to check the medicals.
Yeah, that's not something you reveal. No, that's not something you say before last night.
Yeah, you're probably right. Who knows? But not as far. I do believe that was 100% real. 100% real. I mean, everyone would have to be great actors.
It could affect moving forward. I mean, I think there might be future ramifications from this.
Maybe. I just know that that's.
You
like
think Danny's just going to sweep that under? Oh, you jokester! That was pretty cool what you did there, punking me like that.
Classic Terry.
Hold on to that audio because if he gets traded to Sacramento
tomorrow,
or some other crap location. And maybe we could all look back at that and say, hey, Bleacher Report did do something.
Bob Williams. I'm going to go with Bob Williams.
That was great.
If they sign Irving to a contract extension, his ass is gone so fast.
All right. We learned something about Michael Hurley yesterday, which is very strange that we're going to have to explore. We'll do that just after this. That's right.